In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" John the Baptist was in prison. He had called Herod Antipas to repentance for living together with a woman without marriage, a just preaching of the law. His disciples visited him, probably giving him updates on the miracles and teachings of Jesus. But John's question sparked a debate that continues in the church to this very day. Did John doubt Jesus' identity, or did he simply want his disciples to learn the person and work of Jesus for themselves? In other words, did John ask about Jesus' identity because he had doubts, or did he want his disciples to encounter Jesus personally and discover firsthand that he was the very Son of God? Gibbs argues for the former, Luther argues for the latter. And in any event, John's question resonates in our midst as the great and abiding question of Advent. Is Jesus the coming one foretold in today's Old Testament lesson, or do we look for another? Jesus answered John's disciples, saying to them, "Go and tell John what you see and what you hear." Jesus answered with direct, concrete evidence of his messianic work, those works that specifically fulfilled what was spoken of him in the Old Testament. The blind to see, perhaps the most important miracle of them all, save Jesus' resurrection. For only the Messiah can cure the blind. The lame walk, recalling Isaiah's prophecy that the lame man would leap like a deer. The lepers are cleansed, fulfilling the rites of the holiness codes in Leviticus, that dying sinners would be purified and able to stand holy before the Lord. The deaf hear, recalling the prophecy that the Messiah would open ears to hear the good news of his person and work. The dead are raised up, a sure and certain sign that the new creation has come, a creation that will be sanctified through Jesus' own suffering, death, and resurrection. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. As the poor in spirit, the repentant, hear the good news that Christ has come with healing, wholeness, and forgiveness. In short, Jesus invites John and all the faithful through the ages to ponder anew the works of Christ. The things Christ has done invite us to look deeper into his person and work, to repent of our sins, and to believe this day that he is the very Son of God. As John's disciples departed, Jesus began to speak to the multitudes concerning John. And he makes three points. The first, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? A brush reed is a tall plant that thrives near water. It survives by bending with the wind instead of resisting it. Applied to John the Baptist, think again of his encounter with Herod Antipas, which eventually led to his death. A reed shaking in the wind would have said, "Well, King Herod, I appreciate the doctrine that living together is reserved for those who are married, but times have changed. It's a different world now than it was of old, and the church needs to change with the times to stay relevant." A reed shaking in the wind is the way of those who start their sentences not with, the Word of God says, but rather in our culture. We don't have to look far to find churches in our culture encouraging same-sex relationships today. Even this week, we don't have to look far to see even polygamy coming onto the scene as a conversation afresh. They do it to stay relevant, they say, and to meet people where they are. But at heart, it destroys right doctrine, subjects the church to the whims of the moment, and brings death to her members. Dr. John Armstrong from the Acton Institute will speak to these shifts in our culture and how we take the gospel into that midst in the next hour. But Jesus continues in our text, "But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments?" Again, the reference to Herod Antipas is clear. Herod was in the king's palace, fighting for his throne and wiping out anyone who got in his way. History suggests that this Herod actually arranged the deaths of his own sons and possibly one wife to guard his throne. See the contrast between John and Herod. Herod wore kingly garments. John wore camel skin. Herod ate the finest cuisine. John ate wild insects. Herod promoted himself. John decreased himself in order to increase the proclamation of Christ. So we see here two ways, the contrast between faith and unbelief. These are the two ways, the way of life and the way of death. And there is a great difference between these two ways. Left to ourselves, we are the image of Herod, trusting in ourselves, being paranoid of those who threaten our false gods, and obsessing over our power, our way, our personal whims. According to our sinful nature, we reverse the Old Testament proclamation to prepare the way of the Lord through repentance, and instead we obstruct his way by fearing, loving, and trusting in ourselves. So the Advent message from John the Baptist is to repent. Turn from the way of death to the way of life. Jesus continues in addressing the multitude with a third view of John. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Literally, a prophet is one who speaks for God. Recall the prophets of the Old Testament, from Moses to Elijah to Malachi. They preached full-strength law and gospel, worked miracles, and usually paid for their faithfulness with their blood. Is this what you went out to see in the wilderness, O Israel? Yes. Even John's dress and diet were the credentials of the Old Testament prophets. But this prophet was unique, in fact, for he was the last prophet to prepare the way for the Lord, not to mention being the closest blood relative of Jesus among the prophets. Yes, prophecy and baptism were the basic stuff of John's ministry by the Jordan. John was a prophet, mighty in word and deed. But, as we heard from Jesus, there's even more. This is he of whom it is written, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you." This quote from today's Old Testament lesson tells us who John is and what he does. Who is this shaggy preacher by the Jordan? Jesus says, "I send my messenger." The New Testament word for to send means to send with the authority of the sender. So when John was summoned out of an obscure childhood, we hear of him in the birth nativity, his nativity account, and then we see him in ministry next at the Jordan. When he was called to preach in the stead and by the command of Christ himself, we see him again. When John preached the law, he was speaking for God. When John preached the gospel, he was giving the gifts of heaven itself. When John baptized, he was doing so for God. The person and work of Christ were present in the person and work of John the Baptist. Here we see a high view of the pastoral office. It's not just talking about Jesus in the distance, in abstractions. Rather, preaching and baptism are the very voice and presence of Christ among us. When the pastor calls us to repent, the voice of John the Baptist still rings out in this chapel, calling us to prepare the way of the Lord. When the pastor preaches Jesus Christ and Him crucified, he is a pointing finger to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, directing penitent sinners to the crucified one. And when the pastor baptizes in the name of the triune God, he is carrying out the ministry of John the Baptist, that we may die to our old way, to sin, and receive new life in Jesus' name. And what does John, as a messenger of God, do? Text says, John will prepare the way before you. God the Father promised a special messenger, second only in rank to Jesus, who would prepare the way of the Messiah. This promise was fulfilled in John the Baptist. The New Testament word translated prepare or make ready is the language of royalty. When a king is about to enter a city, he sends emissaries ahead of himself to prepare the city, to make reservations, to fix a banquet, and much, much more. We see it whenever our president travels to a city. All these sorts of preparations are made. Here in Advent, we see also a season of preparation. There are many themes packed into this short but rich season of Advent: hope and expectation, prophecy and fulfillment. But the primary theme in today's gospel lesson is preparation. As John made all things ready for Jesus by calling men to repentance, that as the communion liturgy will put it, they might escape the wrath to be revealed when Jesus comes again in glory, so also this divine service prepares us to encounter Christ with clean hands and a pure heart this Christmas, and to stand righteous in His sight even to the end of the days. So when we, like John, at times have our doubts, we pray to God from this prison of darkness and depression that hangs on in the old man, from the sin and the sickness that manifests itself. We ask John, is this Jesus, the coming one, or should we look for another? And the good news in the propers today is yes. This Jesus is the coming one. He stirs up His mighty power this Advent to come to us, and as we prayed in the collect, to lighten the darkness of our hearts by His gracious visitation. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.